let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Veterans Administration says there's more to the lost data story again. Now the word is 2.2 million active duty military troops are in that stolen database.
It was plain machine readable information. You wouldn't do that in your own checkbook.
That's lawyer Daniel Rosinski, representing veterans groups who are suing the VA over the loss of that personal information. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato in Washington.
Five groups want a federal court to step in to protect data on veterans. Their demands: full disclosure of information being kept by the VA department, the creation of an independent panel to establish new safeguards, $1,000 for every veteran harmed by the loss of data.
Montgomery County, Maryland police are asking for help recovering that Hewlett-Packard laptop with the external hard drive that holds the information taken in early May.
Sounds like a positive response to me.
President Bush there reacting to the response from Iran that it needs time to consider the carrot and stick proposal on nuclear weapons technology.
I appreciate Javier Solana carrying a message to the Iranians that America, Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany, the main group of negotiators, wants this problem to be solved.
Iran has threatened to turn off the oil faucet if pressed too far on nuclear technology.
The Secretary of Energy, Sam Bodman, told reporters this is only hypothetical, but if Iran does cut off oil exports, the world has plenty. The U.S. would dip into its strategic petroleum reserve. That could replace Iran's oil for half a year. And he said Saudi Arabia could pump more, but at the Cato Institute, energy analyst Jerry Taylor doubts that.
The idea that there's plenty of oil out there to go around, given demand, I think is nonsense. If there were, prices wouldn't be at 73 a barrel, they'd be at 20 a barrel.
And in case of conflict with Iran, he predicts $100 a barrel or more. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Harvard scientists plan to clone humans, embryos, in order to have stem cells to study. At Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, Dr. Ruth Macklin says the science is there.
They've done it in animals successfully. This shows at least the possibility and some evidence that it can be successful in humans.
She says people who are opposed to embryo research or to human cloning don't have to participate. He was a singer and a songwriter and an absolute wizard on the keyboard.
So long.
Billy Preston has died after a long battle with chronic kidney failure.
How do I explain?
Preston was a native of Houston, Texas, played with a long list of luminaries, including the Beatles, the Stones, and he wrote songs with Quincy Jones. Billy Preston was 59. Wrestling an alligator is enough to give you a heart attack. It did. John French in Fort Myers, Florida, was wrestling an 8-foot gator when he had a massive infarction and died. He was 68, been catching alligators for many years, a state-certified trapper since 1986. Wall Street, the Dow was down 49 points today to close at 10,999. The Nasdaq lost almost 7. This is CBS News.
Now, how hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
Get the good stuff!
Even with today's modern engines, an oil change every 3 months or 3,000 miles is still the most important maintenance you can do. And right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $1.99 per quart. Plus, you can get a sweatshirt featuring characters from the Disney Pixar movie Cars, free by mail, with any case purchase of Valvoline motor oil. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
James Tillman has spent 18 years in prison for kidnapping and raping a woman, but the DNA evidence indicates they had the wrong man.
James Tillman stood quietly, appearing overcome with emotion, when the judge asked him if he would represent that he would come back to court when ordered. Yes, Your Honor, in barely a whisper. Then the man who spent more than two-fifths of his life in prison for rape was told he was free and a promise to appear.
WTIC reporter Chris Francis, next court appearance July 11th. Till then, and potentially thereafter, he's a free man. In London, it's the latest successful entrepreneurial effort, Butlers in the Buff, Waiters for Hire. All they wear are bow tie, collar, cuffs, and an apron. The company was formed by an ex-Royal Marine who returned from the Gulf and Bosnia with some new business ideas. Rules for the waiters, no criminal records, and no hanky-panky with the client. Rule for the client, no hanky-panky, no touchy with the butlers. He calls them James Bond in a butler outfit, cheeky but clean. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
It is Election Day here on the Left Coast, and you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Carmel by the Sea. Maybe you're tuned into 1480 KGOE Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Or you're one of our Night Owl listeners on 1240 Talk City, KSAC Sacramento. Or the Progressive Station in Phoenix, 1480 KPHX. Wherever you happen to be and whenever you're listening, I'm glad you're here. You can get in touch with me. Drop an email to peter@peterbcollins.com. That's the website where you can get full information like who he and how to access our daily stream, archive programs, podcasts, and all that stuff. On our program today, next hour, we're going to talk about progressives pushing the Democratic leadership. Steve Toma, who is Knight Ritter's Washington correspondent, will be joining us. Also on the show today, Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org, who is standing by his story that Karl Rove has been indicted, that the indictments are sealed, and that sometime, one day, sooner or later, he expects that Patrick Fitzgerald will unseal those indictments. He's going to give us some of the behind-the-scenes activity going on in that case right now. And we're also going to talk about a story he's working on about Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense. And in our 5 o'clock hour, the third hour today, we're going to talk about some of the election anomalies already being reported across the Golden State. Some have to do with electronic voting machines. Others, just some difficulties with poll workers and that sort of thing. We'll get a report on that. And also some activists from Humboldt County. We'll check in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about their approach to this year's primary election. Lots to talk about on the program today. If at any moment you decide you'd like to participate, I'd like you to do that. Pick up the phone and call us, 831-899-5792, a local call on the Central Coast. Or you can call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. Joining me for the first hour today is a friend and colleague who is the author now of, is this number 18?
13.
13?
That's nice. I like that number, 18.
He has written many books. He is a prolific journalist and a radio guy. He wrote Inside Talk Radio, Iron Curtain Rising. What's the book about things that can get you in trouble when you travel around the world? And
Nightmare Abroad.
Nightmare Abroad. And more recently, Wetback Nation, about immigration issues.
The case for opening up the Mexican-American border.
Yeah. And you haven't volunteered to go with the National Guard for the photo ops?
No, but I've been down there with the Border Patrol, and I think it won't be much different.
Well, you're here today to talk about a brand new book that has just been published called Mission Rejected, subtitled U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq.
And it's out in hardcover, right? I've got a softcover edition here.
You have a softcover edition here, as do I. And did you mention my name for those people that are going to order this?
Peter Laufer?
Because we know each other so
well.
I
thought
well,
I
Peter.
Did.
I think that just went right by.
L-A-U-F-E-R, not G-H. L-A-U-F-E-R, Peter Laufer.
Thank you.
Sorry. I guess when I know you that well, it sometimes slips my mind. Anyway, this came out directly in softcover because I have the uncorrected proof that
I can't
cash out at Barnes & Noble.
No, you can't. But but that's okay because one of the nice things about this book, this is a spectacular publishing house, the first book I've done with Chelsea Green, and they make sure that the price point doesn't keep it out of the hands of the readers. And this mm-hmm. thing, the retail is $14, I believe, so that means that Amazon will suck out more from my potential profits, and you can probably get it for $10 or $11, which I think is extraordinarily important because of the subject matter.
So these are powerful stories about American service members who have either declined to go to Iraq in the first place or have made a tour there and then had second thoughts. And the whole idea of resisting, of avoiding service, or having a change of one's philosophy or morality in moving into conscientious objector status, this has not been nearly as widespread in this conflict as it was in our era in Vietnam.
Well, there are so many parallels that we can draw between these two hideous wars. But when we talk about those who are resisting this war, that are in the military, either refusing to go, as you say, or coming back from the war and then refusing another tour of duty and coming out in opposition to the war, which are what the profiles are about in the book, we cannot get away from the fact that everybody in the military now volunteered at one point to go into this so-called volunteer army, even if we accept those who say that there is a de facto draft, either the poverty draft or the stop-loss draft. The reality is that these people did volunteer to get in. And so an important point here, Peter, I think, is that adds substantively to their credibility. It's very difficult to impugn these stories of what went on over there, to reject the heroism of those who refused to go when you realize that these are people who chose to participate in the military because on some level they believed in it. So that, to me, says a lot.
One of the things that I think is different, at least in my perception, is the awareness of the duplicity of our leaders that led us into this conflict. And as you point out in the book, and as I often like to do on this program, it's important to remember how we got here.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It has sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
Chemical
bombers.
Chemical weapons are equally chosen.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
And Peter Laufer, in the introduction to your book, you write, "Predicated on this curriculum of deceit, the United States sent its voluntary army on another failed overseas adventure, even while the memory of the Vietnam debacle was so fresh that some soldiers who had served in the Vietnam War were still young enough to be shipped off to its desert cousin in Iraq. When no weapons of mass destruction were found in Iraq and when no valid link could be shown between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, further excuses were offered by the White House to rationalize the ongoing war. First, a U.S. obligation to bring democracy to Iraq and prevent civil war, and then perhaps most shameful of all, to honor the soldiers already killed." I think that's an important premise for the very powerful stories and accounts that you publish in this book of people who felt really screwed, really, and you talk about people who were misled by recruiters who told, you know, they're promised the sky and given the dirt. But deceit is really a fundamental issue related to those who have refused to serve or serve again.
No question, Peter. Over and over again, I heard stories from soldiers who said they went there because they believed in the government, they believed in the military role, and they believed in the reasons that they were being sent. And when they got on the ground, they realized that this deceit was everywhere, and that fuels many of the stories of rejection that are recounted in the book.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with your first subject, Joshua Key, and it's really powerful to hear his story. Father of three kids, kind of dead-ending here in the United States, signed up to serve. And specifically, he was told that he was not going to go overseas. Am I correct that that's
well,
his story?
I don't think he was told he wasn't going to go overseas, but others were who were yeah. then sent overseas. But he did go overseas. He served, and he was horrified by what he experienced, what he saw. And when he came back, and as was the case with so many others, here's another example of a parallel that doesn't exist with Vietnam. Those who were conscripts in Vietnam went over for one tour of duty. And when a tour of duty was completed, they knew that they were not going to get sent back again. There were many people who served multiple tours of duty, but that was because they volunteered for that. In this case, in this so-called volunteer army, people do get sent back. Joshua Key was one of those. And when he was told he was going to be sent back, he went on the lam with his wife and those three kids that quickly became four kids. And incredibly, another aspect of all of this, Peter, that's so amazing is how young these guys and gals are, so many
yeah.
of them. This guy, incredibly young with this relatively huge family, is on the lam, driving around the country, scared, paranoid, living from motel to motel, getting pickup welding jobs, eventually decides, because he heard about the GI Rights Hotline, something maybe we'll talk about this hour,
mm-hmm.
he goes up to Toronto from information he gathered in part from the GI Rights Hotline and is trying to start a new life for himself. Up in Canada, again, there are differences between what went on, what's going on now, and what went on in the Vietnam era in Canada. So he is not home free yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll talk about the reaction of Canadians to Americans who've come over the border during this war and those who did so during Vietnam. Peter Laufer is our guest. His new book is called Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. If you have a question or comment, maybe you're in this category. You are a service member and you've declined to serve, at least in this war mission. We'd like to hear from you. Lines are open right now on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. Or use my toll-free line. It works coast to coast and we pay for the call. 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376.
Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with author Peter Lawfer about his new book called Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. Thank you, Country Joe. That is the sanitized 1980s remake with the cleaned up fish cheer. And it was turned into a song called Bring Back the 60s Man. And we're talking about people in this current era who are have volunteered for service to our country and then reconsidered. And we have an attitude that is so prevalent right now, Peter Lawfer, that, you know, everything America does is right. That we were attacked on 9/11, and so we have this license to roam the world for vengeance. And then we hand off that license to very young people, often inexperienced, often people who were reservists or National Guard troops who never expected to be in combat. And we don't really have, at least as a society, an acceptance of that prospect, of that kind of change, a change of heart, do we?
Well, we're surprised by it as a society, certainly. We're surprised by it in large part because it is a volunteer army. And I heard that often while I was researching the book. If you volunteer, then where do you get off deciding that you're just not going to follow an order? And I think that that's best stated by one of the soldiers who's up in Canada right now trying to obtain refugee status from the Canadian government, Jeremy Hinsman, who says, I was told in basic training that if I'm given an illegal or immoral order, it is my duty to disobey it. I feel that invading and occupying Iraq is an illegal and immoral thing to do. And that's a jump that we ought to be able to make easily as Americans, and we ought to recognize then that the efforts of the soldiers who are profiled in this book to reject these orders that they find illegal are efforts of heroism. These are courageous, incredibly courageous people. Even if you eliminate policy from this, Peter, and you just think about what it's like to be in any group, let alone a group that is created to be a cohesive fighting unit, and to stand up to that group and say, no, I reject this, is an extraordinary move of courage.
You open the book with a quote from Joshua Key, I broke the rules by having a conscience. And he details for you, and this is a very vivid account, the kinds of house-to-house, they weren't searches, they were bust in, grab people, ransacked the place. And he said, you know, most of these, he broke into 100 homes near Fallujah, and he said not one of them had a terrorist, an insurgent, anything more than a loose AK-47 here or there.
And we have to recognize that these individuals who tell these stories, these are the tragedies, and they are at the bottom of the heap. At the top of the heap is the policy that created a situation where they were put in that untenable position. And there are these stories of the house searches come out over and over again throughout the book. I know you haven't had a chance to finish the book yet, and towards the end of it, there's a soldier, Stephen Casey, who provided me with, there's a lot of cuss words in here, but I think we can get around it. He provided me with a transcript, not a transcript, the audio track of footage that he shot on one of those searches, and it really... if I can take a couple of seconds here to
read
this, it really brings to light what you were just saying. You have to give me a fake word for the famous F word, and I can just keep using that all the way through.
Frick.
Frick. Okay, mm-hmm. Frick it is. On a jerky and dark videotape Stephen shot during one of the raids, I listen to the audio track as the soldiers, their voices pumped with adrenaline, bark out orders that sound understandably fearful and demanding at the same time. From one voice is the call, "All right, Team 1, let's go. Team 2, come back." A second voice yells at the occupants of the house, "Get out, get out, get out, get out." Then a third soldier, "Stay outside. It's chaos," as a woman's voice in accented English pleads, terrified, "What's happened?" And then, my children, what's happened?" She cries over and over, "What, what?" And from the soldiers, running footfalls and, "Let's go, let's go." The confusion is clear in the cacophony of soldiers' voices. "What the frick are you doing? Bust this fricking lock down. Let's go, let's go. Got your hammer? Bust this lock open. Where's the sledge? You fricking just had it in your hand. Get the sledge, man. Let's go. What the frick? Did you see the sledge? First floor, first floor." More footsteps as the sledgehammer is retrieved. "Bust the fricking lock open." The repeated dull thud of the hammer on the lock. Finally, fricking nothing.
Wow. And what, let's see, in Joshua Key's comments, he said that what was often so very difficult was they would be busting into these homes with no interpreter, and they'd be screaming in English. The occupants would be screaming in Arabic, and they had no idea what one another was saying.
No interpreter, no cultural references, no geographic understanding, no understanding of the history of the region. So often these, and this is where the poverty draft comes into play, these soldiers come out of a dead end, with all due respect to them. And they have no idea what they're doing there and where they are. If we look at something positive maybe to come out of this, many of those I talked with said that they became politicized by this. They got an understanding of history from this. They know what Islam is. They never heard of it before from this. So it's a heck of a way to finance education.
Well, coming up in the next segment, I want to talk about some of the resources available to military members who do not want to go back to Iraq, those who'd like to check out, and also we'll talk about what it's like in Canada right now for Americans who go over the border. If you have a question or comment, Peter Lawfer's with us for another half hour. You can call me right now, 831-899-5792, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We
all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
This is a message from Monterey County Democrats. You can do something to restore open, responsive government to Monterey County, and you can do it today. Vote. Today is Election Day. The Monterey County Democratic Central Committee has endorsed Jill Lutz for District 2 Supervisor. We back Jill Lutz because she has a proven record of honesty, integrity, and effectiveness. As a member of the Salinas City Council, Jill Lutz has spearheaded responsible, award-winning development, showing how smart growth can benefit everybody, not just a few powerful, well-connected investors. Jill Lutz showed courage in working with the mayor of Salinas to bring fiscal responsibility back to that city, saving the libraries and other essential services like police and fire. It comes down to this. In a democracy, elected leaders are supposed to work for all of us, not just a wealthy, powerful few. If Jill Lutz wins, we all win. We urge you to vote for Jill Lutz for District 2 Supervisor. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues this afternoon. My guest is Peter Laufer. His new book is called Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq.
The world watched in horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center. We better believe it. We better deal with it. It's time to keep us a chance.
That is the late and off-maligned Yoko Ono with Give Peace a Chance 2004. And Peter Laufer, the folks that you profile in this book really don't fall into a category of peaceniks or, the kind of people like I was during the Vietnam War.
Right.
These are people who,
embraced a call to duty, and then for various reasons feel that that call was not moral, was not properly made, or that, you know, their own circumstances involve duplicity. You detail in the book people who were victimized by Army or other military recruiters. One guy was promised a $5,000 signing bonus.
Oh, it's such a sad story, that fellow, too, because...
Didn't get a dime.
No, and in part he was doing that because of his impoverished father, and he wanted so to help his father, and that bonus was going to take care of the farm. It's really incredible, too. The father shows up in the book at a convention of Veterans for Peace and talks about how his son's flight to Canada created a division in the family that's since been healed because it forced the father to do homework he hadn't done before, and now the father, who calls himself a card-carrying Republican, opposes this war. Hmm. That's one of the things I hope the book does, is that it provides tools for those of us, and I know I can include you here, Peter, who are opposed to this war and are trying to speak with those who are still proponents of the war. Instead of looking at this division, the us and them, how are we going to communicate across that barrier? And I think stories like that, where people such as Brandon Huey's father talks about his epiphany as a father to come out against this war, can help us begin dialogue with those who still support the war.
Yeah. Now, what resources are there? If we have people who are in the service right now listening to this program, and they feel uncomfortable, do not want to return, say, to the war theater in Iraq, what options do they have, and who's out there to assist them?
Well, one of the best organizations, and get out your pencil if this defines you, one of the best organizations and operations to start with is the GI Rights Hotline. The GI Rights Hotline is not going to tell you how to get out of the military. The GI Rights Hotline is not going to lobby you to be opposed to the war or to get out of the military. And, in fact, the GI Rights Hotline can help you with some issues if you wish to stay in the military and you're just having problems getting your check or your mail. They know how the military works. They are a second opinion, and they are spectacular. 800-394-9544, or maybe better start with the website, which is simply girights.objector.org.
And that number again is 800-394-9544.
Correct. And they interact with a lot of local groups, peace, justice, anti-war groups around the country, and they do an amazing thing. That number is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody is always around to answer that number, and these people often are with affiliated peace groups around the country. One of the best of them is in one of your listening areas, Peter, down on the Central Coast, and it's the Resource Center for Nonviolence, which has been around in Santa Cruz since the Vietnam era. They are doing remarkable work counseling soldiers who are trying to deal with the fact that they're in the military and finding themselves opposed to the war. They were extraordinarily helpful as I was doing research for the group and introduced me to several of the soldiers who are profiled in the book.
Great. And is there a way to get in touch with them?
You can get in touch with them directly down there in Santa Cruz.
And this is one of the handy aspects of the new book, Mission Rejected. In the back, there are resources available.
There are indeed, and because they are local and there are something like 1,500 local organizations like that around the country, I did not list them specifically.
Okay.
They are part of United for Peace and Justice, which is a coalition of about 1,300 such activist groups. Look at UnitedForPeace.org,
okay,
and you can find whatever's local wherever you're listening to Peter's show.
All right. So the phones we go. Tim's on the line from Eureka. Thanks for calling, Tim. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Peter Laufer.
Hello. Is that me?
That's you.
Yes. Well, yes, gentlemen. Great show. Great to hear you up here. I would suggest you just mentioned a minute ago about dialoguing with those who still support the war.
Mm-hmm.
And my way of dialoguing with them is to turn the heat up a little bit. If they have their own flesh and blood, their children or themselves, since we know they're taking people in their 40s, one well-publicized gentleman came back and killed himself. He was 48 years old. You may have seen that in the media. That either they should get their hind ends, if we can say that on the air, into the war, or they need to get their children into the war. And they also need to pay for it. We all know what it's costing us. And people like Laura Ingraham, did you read Maureen Dowd's little piece on the 4th?
About Laura Ingraham? No, I didn't.
Yes, well, you know, I keep a list of, and she's pretty vile. She's not quite as bad as Ann Coulter or the other Rush clones. But
just a matter of degree, but I would agree with you.
Yeah, she's pretty vile. And I keep a list of everybody, Victor Davis Hanson, Cal Thomas, Charles Krauthammer, Wall Street Journal, Fox News, all of them. And I just say, well, if the war is so wonderful, why won't you fight it? The planning was, we were supposed to be in and out in a couple of months. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember when they said, we have to be in and out before summer? Remember when getting in by March was a big deal so we could be out before the heat?
Well, the plan, according to the book Cobra 2, was to do it just like the successful model in Afghanistan, quick in, quick out. And, of course, it didn't really work out that way in Afghanistan. We're still putting out fires there. And Rumsfeld and the gang at the Pentagon were deeply surprised that they weren't able to hand off to civilian authorities and get the hell out of there. That was their, if you can call it a plan, that was what they had in mind.
Well, they're all these Republicans and other pundits who are supporting this war are cowards. And they have a big surprise. They are not willing to back up their cowardly president and vice president, and they're a disgrace to the country.
Well, Tim, I agree with you, but let me ask you,
sure,
when you make those kind of remarks to people who still support the war or who at least feel a sense of loyalty, I think there's a real bifurcation. The polls show that a majority of Americans, now upwards of 65-70%, don't support the war, feel that we went in for the wrong reasons and that it's a big mess. But many of them, particularly Bush loyalists or people who consider themselves patriotic, some who have served in the past, give a kind of default loyalty to the United States of America, which can do no wrong.
Well,
and so,
hold on
just a sec, Tim. When you go and approach them in the mode you've just described, my expectation is that it just hardens their denial. It doesn't open their minds.
Yeah, well, it's really unfortunate, and it depresses me so much. Because I'm amazed that the greatest generation, the World War II generation, handed my generation Vietnam. And then people like Bush and Cheney, who I don't know, there is so much denial in this country, because when I was facing the draft, Peter, I wasn't able to, I didn't have Dan Quayle's father, and I didn't have W's father to make a phone call and leapfrog me over better men, as we saw with W, more qualified, in this case, men. I realize many women are serving now, mm-hmm, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But Bush and Quayle were given preference to hide out in the skies of Indiana or Texas, while better men died. And I don't hold anything up. I almost skipped out of the war. I went in at the last minute because my buddy came home in a box and killed by friendly fire. He was an Arab American. Wonderful, wonderful. I can still see him smiling at the steel mill. I'm an Ohio expat. I've called before.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we are doomed. If we haven't learned from Vietnam, and we haven't learned from this war, I'm sure in 50 years or 100 years, you know, some religious or extremist nut in the Islamic world or the Christian world is going to be setting off wars, and it's just never going to end. It's really quite depressing.
Well, I think you have tapped an important nerve there, Tim, and that is that there are many people who I think are experiencing a kind of non-specific depression right now. And they look around them, and they see things upside down. They see a president who says we're making progress when the opposite is quite evident. They see a Republican Party ruling the country one-party rule style and pretending that gay marriage is the biggest threat to us as a nation.
Yeah,
And there are too many, you know, we can blame a lot of different people, but we have to include us, all of us. Because there are simply too many of us who are going about our daily lives, just parking in front of the TV at night and zoning out, and accepting Bush's premise, which is that we can have a war and a relaxed civil society without any sacrifices. We can have a war and tax cuts all at the same time because everything's okay. Well, that nonspecific depression I described is the brooding sense that things are not okay and that internally we really know that and process that. Peter?
Well, there's no question what you're saying is correct, Peter. And one of the ways I felt it most recently was doing the research for this book and going up to Toronto. And in Canada, that non-specific depression you're talking about, that pall lifts. And it certainly is articulated by the soldiers I talk to who are up there, the deserters who have chosen self-exile, Canada, and the roll of the dice that Canada will let them stay. They talk about the new life that they feel they're starting in an environment, in an atmosphere without that non-specific depression.
Mm-hmm. Tim, thanks for your call today.
Okay, thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Nice to hear from you.
Keep up the good work.
All right, very good. We'll continue in just a moment. Peter Lauffer is my guest. His new book is called Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Say No to Iraq. We'll talk more about the situation in Canada for those who have gone north of the border. And if you have a question or comment, Peter Lauffer is with us for another 15 minutes. Get on the line now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
And we continue with writer Peter Lawfer, his new book called Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. And, Peter, what is currently the scene for those who have gone to Toronto? You've made several trips to Canada to follow up with these Americans who have declined to continue serving. That's generally the case. And there are a couple of attorneys who you met in Toronto. Tell us what happens if I leave my unit and decide to go to Canada. What's available to me there?
Well, first of all, there are no draft dodgers because there's no draft. That means that everybody who's up there, opposed to the war and was in the service, is by...
They're deserters.
Yes.
And, yeah, or AWOL.
Well, no, they're deserters if they've been gone longer than 30 days. They are deserters. And they are being represented, again, as we keep talking about Vietnam, primarily pro bono by a fellow who was a draft dodger and left Wisconsin in the 70s, became a Canadian, and specializes in immigration affairs as a Canadian lawyer. He still remains confident. The cases are so new that none have been finally adjudicated, but those who go up there are seeking refugee status. And it's going to be a long haul until it's determined whether or not the Canadian government will finally grant them that. So far, initial cases have, at the lower rung of the system, been rejected, and they are appealing. If they don't get the refugee status, will they be thrown out of Canada? It's an open question. The new government is more to the right, more friendly with the Bush government. But the idea of Canada putting somebody on a plane back to Detroit or a bus from Windsor to Detroit, the only place where you can, in fact, go north from Canada into the United States, well, geographic oddity.
And I've done it.
You know well. But at any rate, it's always good to find some levity in the midst of this. It's such a heavy subject matter, obviously. But at any rate, it's an unknown still. All of them are optimistic. They're starting new lives while their cases are pending. They're able to get temporary work permits. They're able to be in the country legally, so they're not running away. And, in fact, many of them are on speaking tours trying to drum up support in Canada for the refugee issue.
Has the U.S. attempted to extradite any of these individuals so far?
No. And, in fact, if somebody goes AWOL and doesn't put a spotlight on themselves, the U.S. is not actively looking for them. They may get picked up because they're in the national crime wanted database so they could be pulled over for a red light in San Francisco and end up in the brig. But those who have been prosecuted are those who have jumped up and down publicly in opposition to the war. And some of those have done some serious time, hard labor, long time in the brig, dishonorable discharge, forfeiture of pay. This is serious stuff. Of course, you can be shot for it. Nobody's been shot for deserting in the United States Army since World War II.
I was touched by a passage here in your chapter called The Deserter's Advocates, and I'll just read a few lines here. Lee Zaslavsky answers the phone with a businesslike war resistors when it rings. It's a hot summer day. He's wearing a T-shirt, shorts, tennis shoes, white socks. His hair is close-cropped and complements his short goatee and mustache. Zaslavsky is a Vietnam War deserter who came to Canada in 1970. He's now a Canadian citizen. "I consider myself Canadian, not American," he says. Now he counsels and lobbies, demonstrates and speaks, raises money and collects signatures, all in support of this new surge of incoming American soldiers. "We talk about the differences between deserters from the volunteer army fighting the Iraq War and those like Zaslavsky who were drafted to fight in Vietnam. Members of his generation," he points out, "were politicized, supported by a large peace movement, and highly educated since they had used student deferments to stay out of the army. Most Iraq War soldiers," he's convinced, "are recruited on the basis that there's money to be made, there's college education to be had, there's skills training and free medical care. That's a big deal for somebody like Joshua Key from Oklahoma. He had three kids at the time he enlisted." So this creates a very interesting contrast.
And it does kind of fit, I guess, my notion that many members of the military today are apolitical. We see the results of that remarkable poll conducted just 3 months ago of the troops in Iraq, and over 80% still believe there was a connection between Saddam and 9/11.
And one of the things that's fascinating, Peter, dealing with those who are opposed to the war and are rejecting it, those who are saying that they are not going to participate any longer or won't participate at all in the war, they are being politicized. It's a fascinating thing to watch during this research that I did, the interviews, and to see the development of these soldiers who are, in many cases, apolitical, naive, undereducated, is fair to say, without being gratuitous, and they are rapidly becoming educated, and many of them radicalized, because those who are putting their arm around their shoulders, they are radical themselves. They are from the left side if we're going to bifurcate the country again. And so they're getting an education, and it's a decidedly political education.
You point out that PTSD is common, a post-traumatic stress disorder. Do some of these folks have difficulty kind of separating that very difficult set of symptoms from their anger at being, you know, misled into war, misused in a war, and essentially asked to compromise their own morality?
Well, I think those two combine and exacerbate the PTSD. The PTSD is remarkable in a couple of other ways also, Peter. One is that, as we discussed earlier this hour here, the soldiers are susceptible to multiple tours of duty. That means that they are coming back, being treated for PTSD, even while they are susceptible to go back to that which has caused it. And at the same time, they are career military because they volunteered for a certain number of years, their career anyway. And so there is a reticence, even though it's known in the VA that there are extraordinary number of cases, there's a reticence to get treatment out of fear that it'll have an adverse effect on the career. So the multipliers of problems that have been created by this senseless, illegal, unfortunate war that we are now embedded in, it seems almost endless.
Mm-hmm. We have a listener, Carl, who is in the Eureka area and heads a veterans group, and he sent me some statistics recently that are just so shocking, that roughly 30% of the people who are homeless on the streets of America served in Vietnam. And I'm curious if you feel that some of these deserters kind of reflect that next wave of disaffected veterans who suffered through a war that you just described in very accurate terms.
Well, I think that there's no question that we are going to be on the receiving end of a new generation of these guys standing in the middle of Van Ness Avenue holding up signs. But I think that one of the positive things coming out of those who are refusing the war is that they're not going to be part of that because of this radicalization process that's going on. Wherever your politics are, whether you're on the right or the left, a Republican or a Democrat, these guys are being radicalized into a left mentality, but it's an intellectually based one, and it's going to create an environment where they are, most of them, I think, that I've talked to, going to get an education. They are going to get jobs. They're going to be grounded in a way that they wouldn't be had they not rejected the war. That's a positive side of this.
Do any of these individuals express an ambition that they want to change the law that allows military recruiters to call high school students at home, that they want to stop recruiting on campus? Do they get specific about things that they would like to actively see changed?
There has been some of that. There are some of them talking about getting into politics and working to change the system. We see all of the veterans who are coming back, not necessarily opposed to the war or rejecting the war, but coming back and getting involved in politics. We're seeing talk of that or hearing talk of that among those who are actively deserting, rejecting the war, figuring out ways to be involved, already involved. When they're on the stump in Canada, they're covered by the Canadian media, they're covered by the U.S. media de facto. These guys are engaged. That's good news.
Yeah. Peter Lawfer, thanks for a powerful book.
Thank you, Peter, for the exposure.
All right. It's called Mission Rejected, and I want you to go out and buy it so that Peter Lawfer's first week sales will be bigger than Ann Coulter's.
Please.
Actually, Greg Palast issued that challenge earlier today. The book is Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq,
$14 from Chelsea Green Publishing. Peter Lawfer, the author. Thanks for joining us, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Coming up next, we're going to meet Steve Thoma, the Knight Ridder Washington correspondent, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Iran says the nuclear offer contains positive steps.
Sounds like a positive response to me.
New details on charges against the Canadian terrorist suspects.
It's an allegation, apparently, that my client personally indicated that he wanted to behead the Prime Minister of Canada.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. For the first time in a long time, the United States and Iran may be speaking the same language. After being presented with a package of incentives to halt uranium enrichment, Iran's top nuclear negotiator said it contained some positive steps. President Bush used the same word in response.
I think that's positive. I want to solve this issue with Iran diplomatically.
Mr. Bush says the United States is ready to join direct talks if Tehran is willing to suspend enrichment in a verifiable way.
We will see if the Iranians take our offer seriously. The choice is theirs to make.
CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has more on today's developments.
A senior European diplomat flew to Tehran and gave the government there in person a list of incentives to stop the nuclear enrichment program, including it's reported a U.S. offer to sell airplane parts.
The diplomacy, I would say, has had a sensitive stage,
said U.S. government spokesman Sean McCormick, while a student leader who just escaped from Iran, Amir Abbas Fakhravar, vowing to go back and help overthrow the Islamic regime, tells CBS News through a translator the U.S. offer of trade needs to be better explained.
So that it does not cause disappointment and disillusionment among the people of Iran, who might view this as a softness.
Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, I hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drupinski here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
17 Muslim men accused of plotting terrorist attacks in Canada were brought into court today to hear the allegations. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has details.
According to a document given his attorney, one of the accused, 25-year-old Stephen Chan, was part of a plot that included plans to storm the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa and take politicians hostage, behead the hostages, including Prime Minister Stephen Harper, if Canadian troops weren't withdrawn from Afghanistan, and take over the headquarters of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation to gain control of the country's airwaves.
U.S. law enforcement officials tell CBS News they knew about the investigation in Canada for months. In fact, it was the subject of a global counterterrorism summit in Washington this spring. The veterans' data theft story gets worse. The Pentagon now says that the birth dates and Social Security numbers of 2.2 million active duty personnel were lost in the recent theft, in addition to sensitive information on 10 times that many veterans. Legal action is underway, as CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Angry about the loss of data on 26.5 million veterans, five groups want a federal court to oversee the creation of new safeguards. They accuse the government of violating the privacy rights of, quote, every living man and woman to have worn a United States military uniform. John Bankston wore his in World War II.
We are heroes when we're doing the war and protecting the people. When we come out, we lack a piece of used equipment.
The suit filed by lawyer Daniel Rosinski seeks $1,000 for every vet hurt by data losses.
All veterans should be vigilant. Those have caused much consternation amongst my clients.
A new government letter warns vets to beware of callers who claim they're from VA and seek verification of personal information. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
This is sure to heat up the medical ethics debate. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi reports Harvard researchers have launched an effort to clone human embryos.
The work at Children's Hospital Boston is aimed at eventually creating stem cells for treating blood diseases like leukemia and sickle cell anemia. Researchers are already working with stem cells taken from donated embryos. What's new here is creating embryos to both match disease and patient.
Pro-life activists object to the destruction of embryos, but researchers say the embryos are from women with fertility problems and aren't good enough to produce pregnancy. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
From the left coast, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, live dangerously. Crank it up. All right, Neil, we'll take your advice. Keep on rocking in the free world. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Still to come this hour, Jason Leopold. We're going to get his update on the investigation into Karl Rove and the CIA leaks. Also, he's working on a story about Donald Rumsfeld. We'll get the details on that. Next hour, we're going to take a look at the primary election underway in California today. And we already have reports of irregularities at polling places all across the state. We'll get the lowdown on that for you. And we're also going to talk to an activist in the North State in Humboldt County, Dave Berman, who, he's got some questions about the confidence that we have in our voter machines, and he'll tell us about it next hour. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Steve Thoma joins us now. He is Knight Ridder's Washington, D.C.-based correspondent on politics, chief political correspondent for a once beefy newspaper chain that has, unfortunately, been sold. Before joining that staff in 94, he was at the St. Paul Pioneer Press, Washington correspondent for them as well, and he also worked for the Pioneer Press back in Minnesota and also the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette and City News in Chicago. And, Steve, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter. Glad to be here.
I worked in Chicago in the 70s, and the City Newswire was something we relied very heavily on for coverage of local stories. That must have been given you a lot of great training in the fundamentals of reporting.
City News was a great, great place for a young kid to cover cops and robbers and fires and City Hall. And sadly, it went out of business this last year.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
A lot of change in the media landscape, and maybe you want to make a comment about the shuffle of the Knight Ridder papers. What does that do to your bureau?
Well, so far, nothing. Of course, McClatchy Company, which is buying Knight Ridder, takes over in early July. The deal hasn't closed yet, so they're not in yet. But they have said they plan no changes in the Knight Ridder Washington Bureau, that they're very impressed by the work we've done, particularly in the coverage of the war and, I hope, coverage of presidential politics. So they've promised no changes. We're going to keep all our foreign bureaus, keep the Washington Bureau. We have a pretty big-sized operation in Washington.
Well, in our service area includes Monterey, where the Herald has been sold. The Mercury News in San Jose has been a great newspaper, and there is some concern about its future under new ownership. But I guess time will tell, and it's got to be tough for the people inside.
It depends on which paper they're at and who they're being sold to. I know there is some nervousness, particularly at the, and as you know, McClatchy is buying our 32 newspapers. And then the day they take over, they're selling 12 of them.
Right.
They own 12, so they'll end up the same size as we are now. They'll end up owning 32 newspapers, and the new McClatchy will be the nation's second largest newspaper company as we are now. But, yeah, they're spinning off some of the papers, particularly all our California papers, though, of course, McClatchy will still be a big California presence with the B papers.
Sure.
They're selling our Philadelphia paper, Minnesota, St. Paul paper, but then we're going to pick up the Minneapolis Star Tribune. In the end, for my purposes, sitting here in Washington and writing for the big audience, it'll be about the same size audience.
Steve, before we get to the reason we asked you on the show today, which is a story you filed from New Hampshire on Monday, I'm just curious if you were at the correspondents' dinner and if you thought Stephen Colbert was funny.
I actually did commentary on the dinner for MSNBC, and I have to confess I did not think he was funny. It could be my age. Maybe I'm not young enough to get him. I just didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh more than once. I've been to, I think, 18 of those dinners, 18 or 19. I've seen a lot of people come in there who've been very funny, particularly on politics. But if we had some people, Ray Romano has been there, Sinbad back in the Bush 1 years, who aren't overtly political but were very funny. But even the guys who do politics, Al Franken came twice long before he had a radio show, and he was hilarious. One of the big differences is that a lot of these guys, and I remember Franken, who I've known him, he used to come out on the campaign trail in Iowa and New Hampshire and have dinner with reporters. And, I mean, he's a liberal Democrat, but he was very bipartisan in his jokes. I remember he made fun of Clinton and he made fun of Gingrich, maybe a little bit more of Gingrich. But it was good-natured, and the Stephen Colbert one I thought was entirely against Bush. And believe me, I know all the politicians in Washington. There's plenty to make fun of on both sides.
Yeah. Did he get too close to the press? Was his criticism of the media too much for an event like that?
No. That's what I mean. I think if you're going to do a dinner like that, you got to make fun of everyone in the room. That's kind of the way it's done. And if you're only making fun of one, in this case, only the president...
Wait a minute. He had a line about McCain. He said, "I got a place in the Carolinas next time you come to Bob Jones."
Okay, only
you
Republicans.
Spend the weekend.
Then. Only Republicans. It just sounds. It's half the room has been uncomfortable. And it's not. It's not an enjoyable thing. It seems like it's more of an agenda. And you know, it's a town full of agendas.
Okay.
We get
well, I have to say, from outside the Beltway, it played very well.
Yeah, I know.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was it decimated its targets, but I thought it was really incredible satire.
I guess. I started out by saying, Peter, maybe part of it's just I'm too old. I have watched his show, and I don't, half the time, I just don't get it. But I get Jon Stewart, so I don't think I'm that out of touch.
Well, and let's compare ages. I'm 53. I do get part of Colbert, but I have to say that sometimes I'm sitting there saying, "Okay, I know you're parodying Bill O'Reilly, but you know some of it doesn't come off as well as others."
Yeah, and I don't watch O'Reilly very much, so that would go over my head. Yeah, you know, the thing at the end, the video he did the video where he was the White House press secretary. And he's taking the questions, and Helen Thomas is in the front row asking, the only one asking the tough questions.
Right.
And everyone else are morons. And And that's fine. But I got to tell you, the notion that Helen Thomas is the only tough reporter in the White House is a little silly.
But do you think, let's turn that around. Do you think, in general, the White House press corps has been tough enough on this administration?
Sure. I think that's a misunderstanding that a lot of the country has, that the White House press corps is the only people that write about the president or about national policy. The White House, and I was a White House reporter, I covered the Clinton administration. We have two very good White House reporters right now covering the White House for us. I don't think their job is to do investigative reporting. I know that because we have investigative reporters. Their job is not to uncover evidence of malfeasance in the Iraq War. We have people who do that, and I'll brag a little bit. Knight Ritter was the only one that reported during the war and the run-up that there were no weapons of mass destruction, but it wasn't our White House reporters. We covered the heck out of that. Knight Ritter's Baghdad Bureau has been covering the heck out of this apparent murder in Haditha, this terrible thing. But that's not the White House reporters. A big news organization has dozens of reporters. We have 16 national reporters in Washington. We cover all that stuff. The White House reporters don't have to do that. I think the second part is there's a notion, particularly in the era of televised press conferences, which I hate, that if they're not yelling at the press secretary, they're not doing their job. Now, from our perspective, particularly print and newspapers, we view the questioning as just the process. It's the story we write that's important. If it's not going to get an answer, there's not much point to it. And frankly, I mean, press secretaries, and I covered Clinton, they never answer questions. I mean, I was there all through the Monica thing, and, you know, Mike McCurry and Joe Lockhart never stood up there and said, all right, here's the real truth. And no matter how much people hectored them. So I think the White House press briefing.
I get the sense, Steve, I get the sense you go into that press room and, you know, you have to turn off your cell phone, and I understand that. But it seems like some very able reporters turn off their BS detectors.
Oh, I don't. You got to look at what they write, Peter. You're looking at just the questions. I mean, if they're going back and writing stories that say George Bush is a brilliant leader for our time, you know, like Scott McCollum said every day, then yeah, they turned off their BS detector. But I don't think you'll find any print reporters from the big news organizations who wrote that.
All right. We're going to take a break, Steve, and then we're going to talk about your piece from New Hampshire yesterday. More Democrats want their leaders to stand up against Bush and the war. It feeds my bias. That's why I like it. We'll pick up there as we continue with Steve Thoma. He writes for the Knight Ritter Group and is based in Washington, D.C., their chief political correspondent. If you have a question or comment for Steve, get on the line now. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Air we breathe, clean water, our coastline, our parks. The environment is important to all of us, and we should all be offended by Steve Wesley's attempt to smear Phil Angelides with false attacks. The truth, the Sierra Club, the League of Conservation Voters, Vote the Coast, Clean Water Action, and every other major environmental group have endorsed Phil Angelides for his commitment to protect the environment. The Sierra Club said Phil Angelides would be the greenest governor California's ever had. California's teachers, firefighters, and so many others we trust have all endorsed Phil Angelides. Barbara Boxer says only Phil Angelides will fully fund our schools. And Dianne Feinstein summed it up saying, it's Phil Angelides who'll put California back on track. On Tuesday, reject Steve Wesley's false attacks and vote for a governor who will do what's right for California and our environment. Phil Angelides, a governor we can count on.
Paid for by Angelides 2006.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's almost 20 after 4 now. Here's our first report from Metro Diane.
We have an injury accident in Hollister. It's 156 at Flint Road. Two vehicles involved in that one. In Salinas, northbound 101 after Highway 68. Keep your eyes open. Reports of a cardboard box is scattered throughout the roadway there. In Aptos Hills, Pleasant Valley Road and Freedom Boulevard, we have an injury accident. A vehicle hit a tree and is now actually 30 feet off the roadway, so emergency crews are en route for that. This report is brought to you by Realty World. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your local Realty World broker for integrity, service, experience. Realty World, where the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Stephanie Miller Show. And then he sticks around for the show. Casey and Hal, 9 to 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking with Knight Ridder's chief political correspondent, Steve Thoma, who operates out of Washington, D.C., and filed from Manchester, New Hampshire yesterday. And, Steve, tell us what you found there, that there are a lot of progressive Democrats pushing hard on the centrist leadership.
Yeah, there's a lot of I don't want to call it anger, I guess passion, particularly on the left, but among rank-and-file Democrats, the farther you get from Washington, D.C., I find the more frustration people have with the leadership of the party in Washington. They want to see a bold stand, particularly on the war, more than anything else. A lot of people in the Democratic Party and the country as a whole, but particularly among Democrats, say the war was a mistake. They want the politicians to say it was a mistake. They don't want to see triangulating. They don't want to see nuance. They want to see a clear stand against the war. And then there are other facets. They want to see a clearer stand against President Bush. They want a censure motion. They want to see impeachment. But the biggest thing, of course, is the war.
Mm-hmm. And you point out here that nationally, one poll shows more than 8 out of 10 Democrats now believe the U.S. should have stayed out of Iraq. And it was Jack Murtha who first said that the public is ahead of its elected leaders, particularly the Democratic leadership. In your article, you cite Teddy Kennedy, who is proud that he voted against the war, Russ Feingold, some of the people who've changed their minds, like Senators Kerry and Edwards, and you cite some of the candidates, like Sherrod Brown in Ohio, the Senate candidate, who voted against the war. And yet we still see many of the centrists, like Joe Biden and Hillary Rodham Clinton, unable to pivot or at least make a substantive change in their positions to date.
I think, you know, as you note, Senator, two of the candidates who might run in 08, John Edwards and John Kerry, have changed their position. John Edwards is the most blunt. He says, I've made a mistake when I voted for the war. John Kerry has said, I share responsibility now for the war, and has called for a timetable for withdrawal. No one else has gone that far. Only one of the, when we talk about the 2008 race and the potential candidates, the only one who was in Congress at the time who voted against the war is Russ Feingold.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else voted for it.
Oh, I thought Brown did vote against it. I'm sorry.
I was talking about the presidential candidates.
Oh, okay.
Brown is running for the Senate.
You're correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I conflated those. Go ahead.
Yeah. And And I talked to, this is a couple weeks ago, I talked to the state Democratic state chairman in Ohio. I was out there on a trip. And he was the one who pointed out to me that both the leading candidates in the party there, the one for the governor and one for the Senate, were both in the House, voted against the war resolution, which made it a little different. And his argument was that the national leaders, those running for president, are going to have to get right with that vote. At least with his state, they're going to have to come in and explain to Democrats why they voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he praised John Edwards for saying it was a mistake. And that's what I ran into a lot in New Hampshire as well among rank-and-file Democrats, some who won't even accept an apology for that vote. They like Russ Feingold because they think he had both the insight and the courage to vote no in the first place, and they'd rather see that move on as the party's leadership. But others would just like to see someone say, oh, that was wrong. Yes, and Joe Biden hasn't done that, and particularly Senator Clinton has not done that.
Mm-hmm. And, you referenced earlier that you're an older guy. Do you see any parallels to 1968, and do you think New Hampshire, with its disproportionate influence on the primary process, might become influential in terms of pushing the Democratic Party into a Feingold mode?
Peter, that was a terrific question. I chuckle. I'm not quite as old as you, but not just almost there. But I actually thought of writing the whole story differently and writing it comparing Feingold to Gene McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, was the Minnesota senator in 1968 who ran against Lyndon Johnson as an anti-war candidate, didn't win but got enough of the vote to shake everything up and force the sitting president not to run again. I didn't want to do that because I just don't want to predict outcomes. It's so early.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about the message and, mm-hmm. and how it's percolating among real people rather than who's going to win or lose the New Hampshire primary. But, yes, I see that dynamic at work, and I think it can be felt even before 08. It's going to be felt in 06.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be felt, let's assume for a minute that Democrats win control of the House or Senate, which a lot of people think is very possible. I think it's going to affect how they govern. Long before we get to the New Hampshire primary for the 08 presidential, the Democrats could be running part of Congress or all of it, so they're going to feel this pressure on how they govern.
Absolutely. Steve, we've got a couple of callers for you. Dave's on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the air with Steve Thoma.
Well, Steve, I get the impression that you don't really believe this administration deserves to be confronted ruthlessly for the harm that they are doing to this country. I gather you don't feel that. I have a couple other quick points, if I might, and then you can deal with it all. Probably the biggest and most prevalent newsworthy calls to progressive shows like this involve unanswered questions about 9/11 and election fraud, and mainstream media cannot speak of either of them. It's like there's no more free press in this country. Those are the two biggest, hottest issues on these kind of programs. That's my question, so.
Okay,
all right,
Steve.
Let me take the first point. You think I don't believe that the administration needs to be confronted. I hope I didn't leave that impression because I don't want to leave the impression with what I believe about that in either direction. I just don't think what we're talking about, which is White House press briefings, which is a 20 or 30 minute show a day, amounts to the entire coverage. I don't think that's representative of the coverage of the White House or the federal government. And I can only go back to my point. My news organization, Knight Ridder, broke many stories that there were no weapons of mass destruction. When the New York Times was reporting there were, and when the Washington, Knight Ridder said there weren't. We got that right. Now, it wasn't our White House reporters who did that. It was our other reporters. It was our State Department reporters, our national security reporters. It was investigative reporters. We've confronted this administration repeatedly with stories of malfeasance with the we broke a lot of the stories on the Katrina coverage. One of our papers won the Pulitzer Prize for public service for its coverage of Katrina.
All right, and Steve, what about 9/11?
Okay, 9/11. I can't speak to unanswered questions about 9/11.
But do you acknowledge there are unanswered questions?
I don't have enough firsthand knowledge to speak intelligently about that at all.
Okay, and what about elections?
That I can talk about. I can talk about Ohio because we wrote about that. We have a paper in Ohio. I wrote about it. I followed particularly the DNC did an investigation of that. I know that doesn't satisfy a lot of people. I have not seen any evidence of deliberate fraud or enough voter mistakes in Ohio that would have changed the result.
And did Bobby Kennedy's article impress you in any way?
It did not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dave, thanks for the call. And Steve, we're almost out of time here. Pleasure talking with you, and thanks for your reporting.
My pleasure.
All right, that's Steve Thoma from the Knight Ridder Washington Bureau, where he's the chief political correspondent. Coming up next, Jason Leopold joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, the investigative reporter at truthout.org. We're going to talk about Karl Rove, maybe others too, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented them from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's so exciting, honestly, to just be back on the air. And this was a great victory, not for me individually or not even for the group that helped put this together, but for the community. And quite frankly, it really shows you that when we all bond together in a common cause, great things that can be done. I mean, Margaret Mead is the one who had that quote. She says, never let it be said that the work of a small group of committed people can change the world. For often, that's the only thing that ever has.
Mike Newcomb's Week in Review. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2, right here on KRXA 540.
Thirty-three minutes past the hour, and the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We got our free speed zone coming up next hour. Lots of room for your phone calls. We'll have a special update on election irregularities here in the Golden State of California here on Primary Day. That's today. And don't you be an irregularity. If you haven't voted yet, you have until 8 p.m. I want you to get out there and vote. Also next hour, Dave Berman from Northern California in the Eureka area will check in with us. The Voter Confidence Committee is holding a press conference today to announce that it will not accept as valid the results from the primary election in Humboldt County. We'll find out why next hour right here. Joining me now for our weekly debriefing is Jason Leopold, the author of News Junkie. That's a memoir. And the author of many great investigative pieces that you can find at truthout.org. He's the guy that we go to on the Karl Rove CIA leak case. Jason, how are you today?
Pretty good, Peter. How are you? I'm glad that you still come to me.
Oh, you bet. We're not going to stop.
Thank you.
We're going to ride this one out and see it through.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, really riding this out to the end. And, you know, for the past 3 weeks, I've been working on a couple of pieces. One, which is totally outside of this story, is on Donald Rumsfeld. Mm-hmm. And why he is still defense, you know, head of the Pentagon.
Well, he's in the news right now because he's been over in Vietnam, and
yeah.
Somebody ought to tell him that was over.
A little late, exactly,
yeah.
exactly. But you know, with the Karl Rove situation, you know, let me just give you a little bit of behind the scenes of, you know, what we've been doing.
Let's just recap briefly that
sure.
you have reported, and this happened around the 13th of May.
It was on the 13th of May that I reported that Karl Rove had been indicted.
Right.
You know, had been indicted. And, you know, it's funny, you know, saying that out loud, it's like I almost get chills because it's like, well, yeah, I reported it, and I'm still the only one that's reported it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the past 3 weeks, I have to say that it's definitely been the biggest story I've ever worked on in terms of what we're doing in regard to follow-up and really pounding the pavement. And that includes my editor, Mark Ash. And we have, you know, well, first of all, let me just say, we still stand by the story. We still believe that there is an indictment that is sealed that has Karl Rove's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that we've been doing is really trying to get close to a particular case that is, or I should say, a specific indictment that is filed at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
That came up on May 10th. I believe it's either May 10th or May 12th. But it's filed under, I think I even mentioned this once before, it's filed under sealed versus sealed. One thing that we've actually been able to obtain is a case number. And, you know, of course, I should say that there's no evidence at this point other than circumstantial and speaking to a lot of legal scholars and former federal prosecutors that, you know, this case involved the CIA leak situation. The court case that Fitzgerald has been working on, and in addition, it's still sealed. It's actually been sealed now for almost a month,
mm-hmm.
and that in of itself, you know, and the heading sealed versus sealed, has really raised some eyebrows with some of these legal scholars that I've been speaking to, who are interested to, you know, find out what this all means as well. Now, we do know that it was returned by the same grand jury that hears the CIA Lee case. And,
right.
of course,
and
they
we
are,
know that they hear other issues
they do hear,
as well.
Exactly. They do
mm-hmm.
hear other issues as well. But it was returned on the day that Patrick Fitzgerald did meet with the grand jury.
Okay.
Now, I'm just, you know, again, just we're just, this is part of the follow-up. This is what you got to do behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the only piece that we're following, but we're actually speaking to a lot of you know, a lot of our sources and others. We're trying to get people on the record. We're trying to obtain documentary proof, doing what we need to do in terms of, you know, real hard investigative work to, you know, in the event that an indictment does remain under seal, but to just for an unknown period of time, but to really, you know, continue following it up. By no means have we just said, well, just wait, and we're, you know, we'll wait to see what happens. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to put a follow-up together, but, you know, I should say that we're very confident that when something is unveiled or unsealed, that, you know, it will shed light on everything that I reported. And, you know, let's also say that the fact that Karl Rove has testified five times, April 26 was the last time he had testified before the grand jury. And the fact that there hasn't been anything being talked about, that it's sort of quiet, if you will, other than that story I put out on May 13th, you know, if in any other case, I would be out there saying, why is it so quiet? You know, what is going on? And I think that, you know, that's what we're trying to find out. I mean, I don't know his every move, but the fact that there hasn't been any, you know, any sound coming out from, you know, from his camp, you know, it raises questions. Is he cooperating? Has he cut a deal? Has he, you know, has he given information on anyone else? Mm-hmm. Is Fitzgerald trying to build a stronger case against him? You know, a whole host of questions. And those are the things that we're, you know, following up on. And, you know, we hope to, you know, can put a bigger report together. But
we're talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Jason, let me ask you this angle.
Sure.
And my knowledge here is limited, particularly in terms of legal specifics, but
sure.
It's based on what I've read recently about the investigation into Barry Bonds, the other athletes who allegedly used the Clear and other performance-enhancing drugs. They went before a grand jury, and it is alleged that Barry Bonds and others lied.
Right.
And the book that was written by two San Francisco Chronicle reporters, was based in part on information that they got from a grand jury.
Right.
And what I learned is that it is not illegal for a reporter to possess grand jury materials, and it is not illegal to publish them, but it is illegal to steal them. Is it illegal to receive them?
Yeah.
If somebody inside the court wants to give it to you,
right,
they're violating the law, but are you violating the law to receive such materials?
Well, that's really funny that you bring that up, because yesterday, you know, we had a conversation with a former federal prosecutor who warned us that we would be in, you know, legal hot water, is the way that she described it, because we may be forced to answer questions. You know, how did we get it? Who gave it to us? Certainly, if it's something that is published, that is, you know, that is obviously a secret document, and we publish it, and if that, you know, derails anything, if that derails any negotiation or further investigation, if it basically impedes the, you know, the case itself. So there's a, you know, a strong chance that we would probably be dragged into court. But publishing it, from what I understand, it's not illegal for us to do it. Certainly, if we had gotten it from a third party, say, if somebody from court, from the courthouse gave it to just, a civilian, and that person passed it to us. But it would create a whole host of legal problems in terms of, you know, we would be in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, because that is something that we, you know, that we are looking at. And what's been amazing to me, Peter, is that what really is going on behind the scenes, that, you know, let's face it, I'm a reporter. I've got a big mouth. I want to talk about everything. I want to tell you, hey, you won't believe this, what I just heard today. And I got a call from this person. They're saying, I can't do that, unfortunately, right now. I have to bite my tongue.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe if there's a news junkie too or something, I may be able to reveal that. But, you know, that's what's been such a lesson here is how this works, how when you're dealing with such a high profile case, and, you know, there's a lot rests on or a lot of hangs in the balance here. We've got to keep our mouth shut. We're not able to, you know, disclose everything that we learned yet.
Would you say that any new sources have come forward to corroborate your reporting today?
Absolutely. And here's the great thing. They've actually come forward to Mark, my editor. And yes, they absolutely have come forward to, you know, to corroborate and to share some more information. And for me, the experience, as long as I've been doing this, it's still something that always, I feel like I'm in it for the first time again, is that, you know, again, with every high-profile case, you sort of hope that you're prepared for whatever the fallout may be, or if everyone follows up on it. But in this particular, for this particular story, you know, we're dealing with, you know, two sides, you know, both. On one hand, we have an incredible list and body of people who are our sources who have, you know, given us amazing information. We've checked it, and we have checked out their information. We've checked them out, and it fits. And then on the other side, you have the people that represent Karl Rove, who are so believable in their denials. You know, that they're unequivocal, and they, you know, they say these things with such a straight face. It's like, okay, who's lying here? And so then you have Patrick Fitzgerald and his office, who obviously does not comment on the record at all, or just would not comment regardless. So we're stuck knowing that, you know, we're not going to go out and say this, you know, we're retracting the story or anything, A, because we stand by it, but B, because, you know, despite the pressure, you know, I've been reading All the President's Men again for obvious reasons. And, you know, it's interesting. When Woodward and Bernstein were, you know, covering this story, they were pretty much by themselves. You know, they got a couple of things wrong, but there was enormous pressure by that by the Nixon administration and they persevered.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
Jason, we got to go to a break. Who do you want to play you in the movie?
Ha. Let's see.
You think about that. We'll ask you when we come back. Jason Leopold with us. If you have a question or comment for Jason, get on the line now. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic on the ride home. Here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Pajaro, San Juan Road at Salinas Road. Two vehicles involved in this one. They both have been moved out of the roadway onto the right-hand shoulder. Also, a two-vehicle accident in Felton, Highway 9 at Old Big Trees Road. Injuries are reported in this, so CHP on scene working on clearing that up. In Greenfield, Elm Avenue at Arroyo Seco, we have a two-vehicle accident actually blocking lanes there. Tow truck is en route. In Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17, check it in, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Realty World. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your local Realty World broker for integrity, service, experience. Realty World, where the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. Coming up after 6 o'clock, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks right here.
And now, the art of Duane Eddy, the noise of Twang, the sound of Peter Gunn.
Can we have a take two, ma'am? That's Peter B. Collins, not Peter Gunn. I think they gave you the wrong script. It is the PBC show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Jason Leopold with us, the author of News Junkie. And a great writer, investigative journalist at truthout.org. And we're talking about the Karl Rove CIA leak investigation. Anything else we should touch on there, Jason? I'm very sensitive not to try to press you too much because of the nature of your situation and the confidentiality of many of the conversations you've had.
Yeah, I was just telling Matt, your producer, that, you know, as much as I want to just, you know, talk and say, this is, you guys don't understand, this is what's going on, I really have to respect that. You know, in fact, it's been pointed out to me more than once that I've got to do a much better job of not spilling anything right now, and in due time things will come out. And this actually, I do want to actually say that what I think, this is my personal opinion, I think that the reaction to this story, which again I think a healthy dose of skepticism to any news story is welcome and should happen. But this to me just raises another issue about, and since I talked about Woodward and Bernstein and all the president's men, it makes me feel that if there were a Watergate happening identically, there was a true identical situation that took place now as it did back in when Nixon was in office, I really feel that it would not survive. It would not be covered. I just feel that, that nobody would have the cojones to, go out, report it, and stand by the story.
Jason, you probably didn't hear it, but just before you came on, I was talking with Steve Thoma, who's Knight Ritter's chief political correspondent.
Yeah.
And one of our regular callers, I think you've talked with Dave before. Just hit him with a couple of real obvious questions about 9/11 and about stolen elections.
Right.
And Steve, basically dismissed each one of them. And he went into a little more detail about the Ohio elections and his own paper's investigations, and then declared that he couldn't find any overt fraud. And he wouldn't even pursue a conversation about the lingering questions of 9/11. And he's a solid guy. I mean, if you look at the stories that he's written just in the last 6 weeks, he covers a lot of key issues. And on the story I talked to him about, which was filed from New Hampshire yesterday, about progressives pushing against the centrists, the moderates like Clinton and Biden and others, his reporting was great. And I thought he did an excellent job.
Yeah.
But the mindset that he displayed was one that, you know, stolen elections. I'm
right,
not going there.
That's a conspiracy theory. But that mindset, Peter, is the exact mindset that exists, by and large, among all mainstream journalists. And, you know, that doesn't discount the good work that he's done for Knight Ridder. And in fact, Knight Ridder has done, amazing work early on with, saying that the WMDs, it never existed. But, it's this conspiracy theory that nobody wants to attack, and or what they think is a conspiracy theory. I think there's plenty of evidence out there to show that, there were election irregularities in Ohio. I mean, obviously, it's funny. When I saw the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. article in Rolling Stone, I was like, great, this is finally getting out to the mainstream. But I know that Brad Friedman, who is also on, that you also speak with, who has been, what he has done in terms of really, pounding the pavement, this gumshoe-type reporting, which is what I'm talking about, is amazing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But I also know that some people dismiss what he does as, he's wasting his time, he's never going to find anything.
Blogger. He's just a blogger.
He's done yeoman's work for exposing what he's exposed. And
Jason, over the weekend, there was this conference in Chicago, the 9/11 Truth Movement held.
Right.
And I'm reading here, I've got an article from yesterday's New York Times that essentially covers the event and reduces it to a Trekkie conference.
Right.
That's the sentiment, that's the kind of condescension that's dripping from the article.
Right.
So they report what was said, but the reporter is clearly not buying it, and so it comes across as this kind of condescension to these people who, some of them are a little wacky, but, on the central question, they're asking the right damn question.
Right, exactly. And they're entitled to ask those questions, and that's exactly, and it's like, somebody like Brad, who clearly is not represented by a major news outlet or even an independent news outlet. He does all of this work on his own. And I've got to say that, he has been on the right track for a long time. But in the big picture, I guess what I'm saying is that, with the Karl Rove story, there's so much going on behind the scenes that just because there isn't, and for me, this is actually a lesson because, this is really funny. As you know, in my book, getting scoop after scoop and just at least going after that, it's about immediate gratification. This is, for me, is a lesson in being patient and waiting at the same time. I could tell you that in due time, I'm going to be able to, have a very long conversation with you about about everything that has taken place. And when I do, hopefully, people will be really upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Will be really upset. And
now you haven't answered my question. Who would play you in the movie?
Who would play me in the movie? Huh? It's funny. They are. I just had some conversations with HBO, who is interested in my book.
Really?
Yeah. I have no idea what they, intend to do with it. But
well, get a good agent.
Excuse me. Who would play me in the movie? I feel. I like John Cusack. I think he's great. He would be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of has this sort of punk rocker-ish sort of attitude, but yet strong-willed.
Well, see if you can handle this, because particularly during your darker days, I think of Sean Penn.
Oh yeah, hey,
I think Sean Penn can depict those kinds of conflicting human emotions and urges as well as anybody who works in Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, that, he's certainly nobody to sneeze at.
Well, next time I see him, he lives near me, and I ran into him at the bank one time, and I said hello to him, and he ignored me. So next time I'll offer him a part in the Jason Leopold film.
Or a cigarette. I know he smokes.
Oh, you're right. If I were packing, I'd be able to do that.
Yeah, or a light or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Jason, give us a little tease here on what you're working on about Donald Rumsfeld, who's currently in Vietnam.
Yeah, it's just hilarious that he's there. But this is again what I think what people don't realize within the within the ranks, high-ranking military officials who are actually on the ground in Baghdad, there is incredible dissent and frustration with Donald Rumsfeld, with the war plans, with the war plans that were rewritten just recently. That he continues to ignore, you know, these military leaders that are that are out there. And what has again been what been? I'm actually going to get this is going to be great because I'm going to actually have some great people on the record talking about how you know Rumsfeld needs to go, and it's because of his approach.
Jason, I got to leave it there because I've got to go, just like Rumsfeld. Thank you very much. We'll talk next week. Jason Leopold, truthout.org, News Junkie.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. If you thought the theft of data on millions of veterans couldn't be any worse, think again.
The Pentagon now tells CBS News that the recent theft of personnel information affects not only veterans, but more than 2 million active duty military troops, National Guard, and Reserves.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports the scope of the loss has gotten progressively wider.
Just this past weekend, another disclosure. Some of the stolen IDs belong to active duty troops. The VA set up to 50,000 names, Social Security numbers, and birth dates for active duty Navy personnel and National Guard and reservists were also among the missing data. Now another announcement. The IDs of 1.1 of the 1.4 million active duty personnel may be among the missing data, as well as the IDs for nearly 800,000 National Guard and reservists.
The computer data was stolen from the Maryland home of a Department of Veterans Affairs employee. President Bush says Iran's reaction to the nuclear offer presented in Tehran today sounds like a positive step. Now he says the choice is theirs to make.
I have said the United States will come and sit down at the table with them so long as they are willing to suspend their enrichment in a verifiable way.
The European Union official who presented the package of incentives says the talks were very useful and constructive. Iran's top nuclear negotiator said the proposal contains positive steps. The Bush administration seems to have avoided a public showdown over a sensitive anti-terrorism tactic. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
The Senate Judiciary Committee backed off plans to call in the heads of the big phone companies to ask if they've turned over records of every American's phone calls to the government. In exchange, Republican Chairman Arlen Specter said Vice President Cheney has agreed to negotiate proposals to let a secret court examine all these NSA spy programs. Democrat Edward Kennedy said that's Congress's job.
If we don't have a responsibility to deal with that, who in the world does?
Specter said the phone companies say privately they wouldn't tell senators anything anyway because it's classified. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The airline ticket is going the way of the airline legroom. Already, nearly half of all tickets are issued electronically, and by the end of next year, the industry plans to eliminate paper tickets altogether. David Stempler, president of the Air Travelers Association, says it's all about money.
It's so much costlier to prepare a paper ticket than an electronic ticket, almost 10 times as much, because the ticket has to be printed, sent, carried, processed, and then collected on.
E-tickets, when fully phased in, will save the airlines more than $3 billion a year. He was sometimes called the fifth Beatle.
Joseph was a man who thought he wasn't known out there.
He keyboardist Billy Preston recorded with the Beatles and had several hits in his own right. He died today at 59. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 49 points to close below 11,000 at 10,999. This is CBS News.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Get the good stuff.
Father's Day is right around the corner, so stop into your local Napa Auto Parts store for a Father's Day gift your dad is going to love. The Vice Grip 3-Piece Groove Lock Tool Set. And right now, you can get it for just $59.99. Hey, with the press and slide button that adjusts the pliers up to 50% faster, this set can help dad tackle any project. The Vice Grip 3-Piece Groove Lock Tool Set, just $59.99. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Early warning is the key to containing bird flu, and progress is being made. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
Scientists have a new test that can tell within 4 hours if a bird is infected with bird flu, an improvement from older tests that took a day. But it still can take a week to know if the flu is the much-feared H5N1 strain. Test on humans would take about the same time. Dr. Mark Siegel, author of a book about a possible bird flu pandemic, says faster test results would be better.
More work needs to be done, especially when you consider that this virus has been infecting millions of birds throughout the world.
So far, no bird infected with H5N1 has been detected in North America, but scientists say it could happen. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Frazier Ross, the owner of an upscale boutique in Los Angeles, complains about the paparazzi hounding his customers, who include Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. But apparently Ross has decided if you can't beat him, join him. He's become an investor in a new paparazzi agency. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, I hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, heading into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome, as always. Any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Does that work for you? Lines are open for you right now. The toll-free circuit works coast to coast. That's 1-888-579-2540. And you can call me on the Central Coast. It'll save me a dime at 831-899-5792. And Rush Limbaugh doesn't own that music.
But my city was gone.
That's Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders, and she's still steamed.
There was no train station.
And the way he has appropriated this great song. It's called My City Was Gone, and I play it in honor of the great unidentified town of Bolinas, California, which is where we find Megan Mattson, who is with the M-Mob, Main Street Moms Organize or Bust. Hello, Megan.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I got an email from our pal Tom Seaborn at KGOE in Eureka, which somehow had reached him from you or a colleague, and you are gathering information today about irregularities and anomalies in our primary election process. And first and foremost, I thank you for your activism.
Thank you.
This is an important issue, and we talk about it a lot on this program.
I know, and I thank you for that. Yeah, it is, you know, we worked hard to register a lot of new voters in 04 and then felt sick coming out of that election and joined the group in D.C. asking for the challenge to the Ohio electors. But this year really got involved with the voter action lawsuit against the Secretary of State to block the purchase and use of Diebold's voting machines, and we've been running letter-writing campaigns to the holdout Diebold Registrar of Voters and Boards of Supervisors and Secretary of State to end that use. And so today we've been really on the phone with people in those remaining Diebold counties and then watching the news, come out of Kern County, San Joaquin, and San Diego County of really significant delays
now
due to the Diebold systems.
Let's take those in order because my super producer, Matt Renner, has been gathering information. We know about Stockton, Bakersfield, and San Diego. Those reports have reached us with voting irregularities. Let's start with Stockton. What do you know about that instance, Megan?
Well, I know that the... the description there is so much less specific, but it sounds like, once again, poll workers are being blamed for, I think, real faults and complexities of the systems. You just hear that there was delays of 3 hours, that polls were supposed to open at 7, didn't open until 10. Voters did turn away. A lot of the election inspectors who were supposed to be on hand and troubleshooting problems like this for that area quit last night for reasons unknown to the ROV in that area.
She reports, her name is Hench, that Debbie Hench, the Registrar of Voters in San Joaquin County, that 8 of them quit between 5 and 8 p.m. last night. That's kind of unusual.
Yeah, it does seem unusual, and I can only guess why they quit. But when you see the poll workers again being blamed for the inadequacies of this failing equipment, you can see why people are less willing to really step up.
Well, and Megan, the area in San Joaquin County is half of the district of Richard Pombo, who is an embattled Republican, one of the powerful Tom DeLay allies. And in just full disclosure, my listeners know this, but I've been supporting and doing some consulting work for his opponent, Pete McCloskey. And so I am deeply concerned about problems in that district because, I can smell it from here.
Yeah. I wonder, I hope you get a chance to talk to Pete McCloskey on this topic today.
Well, probably won't be today, but once we know what the facts are, we'll certainly talk with members of the campaign and the congressman if he'd like to.
Yeah. Well,
now,
I know
tell
he's
us
been
what
pretty
you...
eloquent.
On oh, that. Yeah, he's great. Tell us what you know about the situation in Bakersfield.
I've heard that the, and correct me if this is what you're hearing as well, but the voter access cards came in with old election data on them, so the poll workers were unable to get the Diebold touchscreens up and running. Again, another three-hour delay with voters undoubtedly turning away.
Well, this is a story that we accessed from the Bakersfield, California newspaper website. Widespread problems with Kern County voting machines prompted election officials Tuesday morning to ask people to wait until 10 a.m. to go to the polls. And they are seeking to extend polling hours, but conceded that is unlikely. And they said that at 7 a.m. the polls opened, many voter access cards, the ones used to work the voting machines, were not programmed correctly.
And then... So the poll workers are standing there, and I'm sure don't have the equipment right on hand to clear that data. We're unaware of it in the in their training. I think this just calls real attention to the, you know, the fundamental problem we all see with the privatizing of our elections. And I just talked to a poll worker we have in Alameda County, where of course they're voting on paper ballots, and everything is relaxed, smooth. It's a pretty straightforward thing to start registering voter intent on paper.
And what do you know, Megan, what do you know about the reports from San Diego about voting? These are, on this email, it shows a story from the Union Tribune, which is a very conservative newspaper in San Diego. It says, Election Day began with its share of routine glitches and missteps, with some San Diego County polling places opening late, workers discovering they were missing versions of the ballot. And so that's an interesting sequence of events.
It is, and we have quite a few contact people in San Diego, but I think they are, unfortunately, they're all out in the field, and I haven't gotten a call back with more details from them on the reasons for that holdup.
Megan, our listeners are located in the Eureka-Humboldt County area and along the Central Coast, and there are listeners in Sacramento who will hear this broadcast late tonight. If people do observe difficulties or, you know, serious setbacks in their precinct or in their counties, is there an email address you're comfortable giving that people could send that information along to you?
I'd love to see it. My email address is megan@themob.org with two M's.
Mm-hmm. And so Megan at, and M-E-G-A-N is how you spell your first name.
Uh-huh.
T-H-E-M-O-B-B.
Sorry, T-H-E-M-M-O-B.
M-M-O-B. Got it.
And I did, I talked to some observers just now in Humboldt, and they were not reporting any problems at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I know one action we've been taking, we just had a big Diebold out of California parade in Point Reyes as part of Western Weekend, and we're calling on everyone to call Attorney General Lockyer's campaign phone line to say the best thing he could do for his campaign as treasurer is to show leadership on the Diebold issue,
mm-hmm.
and really joining in voter action's call on Lockyer to get the Secretary of State to drop Diebold for the November elections.
Okay. Well, Megan, thank you for your work on this, and thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much. And,
all right.
Thank everyone who's listening and working on this.
Okay, and my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. So if you compile a report and you want to share it with us, send it along.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Now to Lisa in Eureka. Hello, Lisa. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. We haven't had too many problems up here in Humboldt County that I'm aware of, although a very interesting thing happened to my husband and I this morning when we went to vote. We're declined to state,
mm-hmm.
Registered bipartisan. And when we went in and requested our right to vote however we want to, whether it be the Democratic ticket, the Republican ticket, or the independent, we were told that we would have to vote,
on a provisional ballot.
On a provisional ballot.
Really?
And we said, no.
No. No. Under the current law in California, and I am too a declined to state voter, you go into the polls, and today there was a sign up, and it said you can ask for a Republican ballot, a Democratic ballot, or a Libertarian ballot. They didn't offer me the green option, but I wasn't interested in that this time.
What has to be, according to what we understand of the law, is it has to be a party that agrees to that.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we understood up here, it was the independent and the Republican and the Democratic.
Well, there isn't an independent party. It's the Libertarian Party, I believe.
Libertarian Party. Okay. Yeah. So I think it said American Independent on our...
There you go. That is correct.
Okay.
You got it right. So what was the outcome? Did you prevail?
The outcome was, we did. And I'm not saying it's the pollster's fault. I'm saying it's their training.
Mm-hmm.
The training is not, it's not enough.
Yeah.
They need more. They need to be allowing for every possible thing that a person can come up with.
Well, you know, this isn't even in that league, Lisa, because this is a very cut-and-dried legal issue. There are three kinds of voters who come into the polls. They are either registered Republicans, registered Democrats, or, well, it's more than three, but you get my point,
or declined to state.
And so it is something that all of these people should be trained in, particularly in a primary.
I agree. Because where the difference is in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
In the national election in November, we're going to have an open ballot.
Right.
As a declined to state, as bipartisan, you know, registered bipartisan.
Exactly.
But we didn't have that option in the primary.
Yeah. Lisa, I got to run to a break, but I thank you for making that report, and thank you for standing up for your rights and not letting them push you around.
We're good at that.
Well, you set a good example for the rest of us. Coming up next, Dave Berman will join us from the North State, and he's talking about declaring that the validity of these election results is nil. We'll talk about that in our next segment. Take more of your calls, 831-899-5792, toll-free, 888-579-2540. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Traffic situation right now. Here's Metro Diane.
Start in Elkhorn, Elkhorn Road at Castroville Boulevard. We have a two-vehicle injury accident on the right-hand shoulder there. Emergency crews are en route. Keep your eyes open in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Pacific Avenue. Reports of a large board in the middle of the roadway there. In San Ardo, Cattleman Road at Redhead Canyon Road, vehicle actually hit a utility pole, so vehicle is in the roadway, and the lines are hanging very down low over the roadway. Some good news for Pajaro, San Juan Road at Salinas Road. An earlier accident that had been blocking lanes has now been cleared. This report is brought to you by MontBleu Resort Casino and Spa. Tahoe's reached a higher elevation at MontBleu Resort Casino and Spa, home to big-name entertainment, sexy nightlife, world-class dining, and gaming that never stops.
Oh, wow.
MontBleu, cosmopolitan by nature. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. Twenty-two minutes past the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're in the free speed zone. Your calls are welcome. There's a line open for you right now on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. Dave Berman is an activist and a blogger. He's also written a book called We Do Not Consent. And his blog is GovWorldBlog. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, thanks, Peter.
Good to talk with you, and thanks for putting me on your list. I've been seeing your dispatches in my email box, and I appreciate that. And tell us a little bit about the action you've taken today to challenge the validity of the primary election results in Humboldt County.
Well, the Voter Confidence Committee of Humboldt County is going to be holding a press conference at 6 p.m., so a little bit over a half an hour from now. That's going to be outside of the Eureka City Hall. And we have a very competitive media landscape here, and it's been really rather easy for us to get election issues into the media. And now we're trying to go a step further, I think, and you are in a perfect position, I think, to help this out here. What we are saying is that, of course, these election conditions mean we have to accept the results with blind trust. There's really no rational basis for confidence. We have these optical scanners that have the proprietary code, and so basically the votes are counted in secret, and we can't know for sure that we're getting the right results. And so we are telling the media of Humboldt County that they should not report what they cannot prove, and they should not publish or broadcast as fact what they cannot independently verify.
And so you're saying that the results are suspect and therefore the media should not report them?
Well, what we would like to see the media do is demand the ability to verify the votes the same way that we as citizens want the ability to verify the votes. We want to hand count the paper ballots that we voted on. I mean, we've got the equipment already. The ballots are paper. We've voted on them. We just don't need to bother putting them through these scanners when we should be counting them by hand. And the media, if they're not going, I mean, if they're going to recognize any kind of a journalistic standard that they might try to live up to, I would think that they would not want to state as fact what they cannot independently verify. So if they are then going to look for a way to do that verification, they've got the same cause that we have.
Now explain to me, at least from your knowledge, how the optical scanners work, because many people who have concerns about electronic voting are more concerned by the touchscreen systems than by the paper ballot that is then fed into a scanner for tabulation. When I used one of those when I voted this morning, and I filled out a paper ballot, and just like an SAT or other exam, you know, I blacked in the person I wanted to vote for in each case. And then, as I understand it, my choices were immediately transferred from the scanner at the precinct over a phone line to the central tabulator at the county. Is that correct, or is the information stored on that machine and then sent to the county at the end of the day?
Well, I believe that it's at the end of the day, but even if I'm wrong, I think that what is missing from the explanation that is of the greatest concern to me is the component of the programming that is called interpreter code. Now, I should say, first of all, that interpreter code is forbidden by the federal guidelines, and those federal guidelines are enveloped into California state law. So you may have heard recently that Lowell Finley and the Voter Action Group filed a lawsuit in the state of California. Part of their suit was about Secretary of State Bruce McPherson incorrectly or inappropriately approving for use the Diebold equipment and other companies' equipment that contains this interpreter code. Now, that's just kind of almost to the side. How does the interpreter code work? Why should it be of such great concern? Well, the interpreter code is the way that the information from the ballot gets translated into AccuBasic. When we're talking about Diebold, AccuBasic is the proprietary language of Diebold. So when you hear people voice concerns about having proprietary technology involved in elections, what we're really talking about is this interpreter code, which changes the information into a form that the voters can't read, the media can't really scrutinize, and even the elections department can't examine.
So that's where you think the vulnerability is.
Well, I don't know if it's a vulnerability, but it's where the cloak is thrown over the whole process. It's where it becomes secret. And we do not consent to secret and illegal vote counting machines.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you pointed out, these scanning devices do rely on paper ballots as the origin of the data. So you're asking then that the scanners be put aside and that humans count the actual paper ballots.
In Humboldt County, that is feasible. I recognize there may be some places like Los Angeles where there's too many ballot types, too many languages, and we may need to look for other ways to address this. And I would in particular point to the Open Voting Consortium as a promising, you know, area of development. But here in Humboldt,
you want the process to be transparent, and you don't want it to use proprietary codes that are owned by private companies.
That's right. And in Humboldt County, we can count all the ballots. This is not a heavily populated area.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, we're running out of time here, but I thank you for what you're doing. 6 o'clock, and what's the location of your press conference?
Eureka City Hall, K Street, between 5th and 6th.
All right. Thanks a lot. Stay in touch. That's Dave Berman in Eureka. Your calls and comments are next here in the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The air we breathe, clean water, our coastline, our parks. The environment is important to all of us, and we should all be offended by Steve Wesley's attempt to smear Phil Angelides with false attacks. The truth, the Sierra Club, the League of Conservation Voters, Vote the Coast, Clean Water Action, and every other major environmental group have endorsed Phil Angelides for his commitment to protect the environment. The Sierra Club said Phil Angelides would be the greenest governor California's ever had. California's teachers, firefighters, and so many others we trust have all endorsed Phil Angelides. Barbara Boxer says only Phil Angelides will fully fund our schools. And Dianne Feinstein summed it up saying, it's Phil Angelides who'll put California back on track. On Tuesday, reject Steve Wesley's false attacks and vote for a governor who will do what's right for California and our environment. Phil Angelides, a governor we can count on.
Paid for by Angelides 2006.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone, 888-579-2540, 831-899-5792. When will Jake from Arcata break his silence? I know he's been busy campaigning, but someday he'll be back. I just feel it. Susan in Santa Cruz has been holding patiently, I hope. Hello, Susan. You're on the air.
You today?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
It's election day, and so, you know, things are kind of settling down a little bit.
Right. Okay, well, I encountered something at the polls, I went to, that seemed like a much larger act of harassment towards voters than what you've been talking about, and that is that I got there when there was a guy who was measuring sidewalk rises and sidewalks and stuff was there, and some people were walking around outside extremely concerned because apparently the county of Santa Cruz is being sued for not having proper access for handicapped voters.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard anything about this, so I was wondering if you had a heads up on it. So they're measuring. I don't know if they're measuring at every polling place, and I'm sure the guys who are measuring are just, you know, lackeys. They're just pawns in this game.
Yeah.
Not lackeys, but pawns. And so I was just wondering if you heard, because it seems like they've targeted only two counties in the state, and the person couldn't tell me what the other one was.
I don't know specifically, Susan, and I'm free to admit it. I don't like to BS people about things I don't really know.
No, no. Okay.
I have a suspicion, though, that it's related to the Help America Vote Act, which included provisions for easier access to polling places by handicapped individuals.
Yeah, that was mentioned, but they said that there's been an increasing amount of harassment towards Santa Cruz since Arnold got in.
Mm.
And it is where McPherson is from also.
Right. So you think the issue was the specifics of the, like the height of the sidewalk and whether that is a sufficient barrier that has to be leveled or something?
Whatever it is, that could be interpreted as a barrier. And the thing is, too, I was thinking right away, I said to the person, then they would have to sue all the churches and the schools and the swim center and all the places where people have to go to vote,
mm-hmm.
you know, where all the polls are. I mean, you can't, if you're going to sue, they're suing the county. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing to sue the county over this.
Let's see if any of our listeners know more than I do. And,
okay. And I know it came from
question.
A reliable source, because I don't want to say her name on the air, but I recognized her name as somebody mm-hmm. really active
okay.
in local politics.
So, to our listeners, if you know the specifics about
call
handicapped
in.
Access rules and where they are based, I'd like to know.
And anything about this suit and what other county might have been involved.
Okay.
Right.
And I'll just tell you this, Susan. When I approached my polling place this
mm-hmm.
morning,
mm-hmm.
There was a woman walking in just ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And we both kind of paused for a second to read the signage before we went into the polling place door. It's a church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little confusing. Because on either side, there may be four doors that are at the entrance to this church. You go into a foyer. And on the doors were posted these signs that said handicapped entrance.
Uh-huh.
And they were pointing toward the same entrance that everybody else used.
Uh-huh.
And my guess is that the law requires the posting of signs to direct handicapped individuals to the easiest route for them to get into the polling place.
I did notice one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other legal issue is that I saw a sign posted on the sidewalk, or actually on a tree, inside the sidewalk just outside this church, that noted the 100-foot point from the entrance to the polling place, and it said that electioneering activities couldn't occur inside of that point.
That's common also. But this fellow who was there also said that he felt that the county was really being singled out because, you know, we don't have a lot of clout, and they could make an example of us, but we are kind of vociferous.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, you got a reputation, Susan.
Yeah, we do. We do.
And I think it's a beautiful one in Surf City.
Okay.
Thanks for the call from Santa
All right,
Cruz
you're welcome.
Today.
Bye.
So if you happen to have greater knowledge, share it with us. And if you had something unusual occur or you noticed something a little odd at your polling place today, tell us about it. It may not be anything super significant, but, you know, when you connect the dots, you kind of figure out the bigger picture. So if any of that occurs to you, join us right now, 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. A couple of other items here on our agenda today. This news is fresh from CNN. Navy investigators have evidence that U.S. Marines may have committed premeditated murder in the April shooting death of an unnamed Iraqi man in Hamdaniya. That's spelled Hamdaniya. You might get used to that name because I think we're going to hear a lot more about this, not to be confused with the town of Haditha, which is where 24 civilians were killed in an alleged massacre last November. In the Hamdaniya incident, some of the Marines in pretrial confinement have admitted the circumstances of the man's death were staged. Their statements form part of the evidence suggesting Marines from the 3rd Battalion, 5th Regiment, murdered the man. They went after someone, not necessarily this person, but they set out to get someone, the officer told CNN, referring to Marines now under investigation. And that officer spoke to CNN under condition of anonymity. Knight Ridder News Service reports seeing a one-page handwritten report shown by the victim's family. The report cited a U.S. Marine sergeant who said the man was killed because he was seen digging on the side of the road from our ambush site. I made the call and engaged. He was pronounced dead at the scene with only a shovel and AK-47. Now, other accounts that I've read of this incident indicate that it occurred in the middle of the night, that this man allegedly was out digging a ditch at 2 or 3 a.m. That's possible, but the story appears to be falling apart. 7 Marines and a Navy medical corpsman are being held in the brig at Camp Pendleton here in California as commanders weigh possible charges against them in connection with this incident on April 26th. So it's really sad to compound the errors of a war that was optional, unilateral, based on lies, driven by motives that are not still clear to most Americans. And now you have Abu Ghraib, you have Haditha, you have Hamdaniya, you have a pattern of American troops just wasting people. And in the accounts in Peter Lawfer's book, which is called Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq, those who fought in Iraq and refused a second tour of duty described incidents that would make you cringe and make many people question their loyalty to the United States of America. These soldiers describe going on door-to-door, house-busting missions where they were instructed to go in, terrorize the people inside, grab the men and the boys, I guess, over 18, round them up, take them out to a truck and haul them away. And these scenes are tragic in that these young American soldiers are rightfully afraid as they bust into a home in the middle of the night, and they cannot communicate with each other. They go into these house hunting onslaughts without an interpreter, and unless the people inside speak a little English, there's absolutely no way to communicate. And so you have soldiers screaming in English, you know, get down, get out, don't move. And the people they're talking to don't have the vaguest idea of what's being shouted at them. And then when the occupants of these homes speak up and say, what are you doing, you know, where are you taking my children? Likewise, they can't be understood. And how we can conduct operations when we can't identify the people who we consider suspect and separate them from innocent bystanders is just mind-boggling. And one of the stories in Peter Lawfer's book, told by a soldier, is that he witnessed his superior officer shooting and killing the driver of a vehicle because he had pulled his pickup truck in front of a lengthy U.S. convoy. He didn't want to get behind it, either because he didn't have time or, well, whatever reason. No warnings were issued. It was plink, plink. You're dead. And so Hamdaniya, Haditha, Fallujah, where we virtually leveled the city, took out 30,000 homes and leveled them to rubble. I believe these are the legacies of this misbegotten war, and that we will be talking about these towns the way we used to talk about the My Lai massacre and other tragic events during the Vietnam War. And the real sad part for me is they think they're doing it in my name. We're going to take a break and return. I want to hear from you. Lines are open in the free speech zone, 831-899-5792. Anything weird when you went to vote today? Tell us about it. You can call me toll-free, too, at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic one more time on the ride home. 547, here's Metro Diane.
We have a major injury accident in Elkhorn. It's Elkhorn Road at Cashville Boulevard. Two vehicles involved in this. Emergency crews are on scene working on clearing it up. Felton Graham Hill Road at Roaring Camp Road. We have a stalled big rig blocking the roadway. And in San Ardo, Cattleman Road at Redhead Canyon Road, a vehicle actually hit a utility pole, so the vehicle's still in the roadway, and the power lines are hanging very close over the roadway. In Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Pacific Avenue, CHP on scene clearing up a large board in the middle of the roadway there. And checking the Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident free. This report is brought to you by Chevrolet. Get the facts of Chevy fuel efficiency. Compare Chevy head-to-head. Go to Edmunds.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Fabulous, Diane. Thanks for your work today.
Thank you.
Casey's got your traffic tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, right here.
Proclamation. 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 Proclamation.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., rocking the nation.
We live in a mean time and an aggressive time, a painful time, a time where cynicism rocks the vine, and a time where violence blocks the sunshine. Lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon. Everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune, or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon.
I'm not afraid to sing out of tune because, well, I've never been able to sing in tune. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone, and you can call about any subject. Particularly, though, if you had something unusual when you went to the polls today, I'd like you to report it to us. And if you have any issues about the way the election is being conducted and what you have observed, please report it to us. We will tell any salient facts to our man, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, who is the go-to guy on election and electronic voting issues. And so you're invited to call if you want to report anything like that. You can also talk about the other issues we discussed today. Steve Thoma from Knight Ritter was on with us and raised a few progressive hackles with some of his comments. We also heard from Jason Leopold on the latest on the Rove investigation, standing by his story, and he's the only one out there with it, that Karl Rove has indeed been indicted, and those indictments have been sealed. And we also had a powerful conversation with Peter Laufer, the author of this new book about soldiers who have deserted because they feel the Iraqi war is immoral. John in Carmel Valley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Peter, this afternoon, Ed Schultz had General Batiste on. And
I heard he was going
to,
and I didn't get to hear the interview. And General Batiste is somebody we've got on our list. We're trying to track him down. I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, get him on, although I'll explain in a minute. He was part disappointing, even though he's a very articulate man, and he is dead set to see Rumsfeld out of office. But interestingly, he was asked by Ed, well, what about George Bush and his role in this? And he just didn't want to say anything about that. He said, I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm a patriot. And he inferred, he didn't say, I just am not going to comment about Bush at all, which I thought was almost absurd to put all the onus on Rumsfeld, which he does deserve a lot of, unquestionably. But he wouldn't comment about Bush or Cheney at all. And he actually said he resigned his commission to take on this issue with Rumsfeld, who he thinks has just been the real cause for our failure in Iraq. And
well, I think that's interesting. I have heard General Batiste or seen him on television on a number of occasions over the last month since the other generals joined him independently. There doesn't appear to be any coordination there in calling for Rumsfeld's resignation. And I do sense what you just confirmed for me, that he is kind of single-minded in that respect. And I likewise had not heard him make comments that were broadly critical of the administration or the reasons for the war, but simply targeting Rumsfeld for his management of it.
Well, he just wouldn't say one word about Bush, and to me that's such a gigantic omission that I question whether he's aiming in the right direction. I mean, if you really want to go to the source of this, he's the man for sure.
Well, John, I'm really glad you called to talk about this, and here's what I'm doing. I know Ed Schultz and his producer. I've subbed on the Ed Schultz Show four or five times, and I emailed Homie earlier today asking him for the contact info for General Batiste, because we've been unsuccessful. He doesn't have a book out, so and I don't think he has a listed phone number, and the Pentagon won't put us in touch with him. So we are trying to come up with the route to reach him, and I'll be happy to invite him on the program. And if you don't call and ask him about Bush and Cheney, you can be sure that I will grill him on those issues, and we'll just see what he's willing to give up.
One last question. I'm not sure, is his name spelled with a P, or is it just B-A-T?
Yeah, it's Batiste, B-A-T-I-S-T-E. No
okay.
P. It's not Baptiste. You're,
yeah,
you're right.
I didn't think it was,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and why don't you drop me an email, John?
No, I can't. I'm not on the internet.
You ain't connected. Okay. Well, then you just have to listen every day, and we'll let you know when we get General Batiste on, and look forward to you calling and chatting him up.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Deborah in Carmel is next. Carmel by the Sea. Hello, Deborah.
Hello there. I'm about to go vote, but I told your man that yesterday I was double-checking the location that I should go to vote.
Yeah.
And the last few times it's been at Carmel High School. So I look at the back of my ballot info,
right.
And I'm going to vote at the patio party barn. What is that, you might ask?
Well, maybe they'll serve you a drink before you go into
it's,
the
it's
booth.
It's at the Mission Ranch.
Huh.
You know, the old barn where Hossford years ago used to perform. But I just think it's absolutely astounding that you've got a nationally known figure, Clint Eastwood, who's well known to be a Republican, and he is, in essence, holding my voting event. I'm a lifelong Democrat.
He's so, hosting you, Deborah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, in terms of listening and for months, or for years, really, of people who actually understand all these voting machines that people like me, you know, don't have a clue how they can be manipulated, if in fact that has occurred anywhere. I mean, potential shenanigans sort of go uphill, as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to vote at somebody's private business.
Well,
I just thought I'd pass it along. I mean,
is the high school being renovated, or is there a reason why it's not, why they moved your polling place?
I just looked yesterday, so I didn't have time to poke around, and in better days, I would have called Tony Oshundo because I've dealt with him off and on.
He never returns my calls, and now he doesn't work there anymore.
Well, I know, and he's the nicest man in the world. I have no idea what happened to him. But
well, the story is that he went a little overboard on his credit card, his county credit card.
Yeah, I read the
But
the
that's
article.
Just a that's just an account and not even an allegation. I don't really know. And I met Mr. Oshundo last fall. He brought an electronic voting machine into the studio and demoed it for us. And he said two things that we wanted to follow up on. One was, trust me. And the other was that he would give us an analysis of the success or failure of the voting machines in the special election last November.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave him like 2 or 3 weeks to complete what's called the canvas and file the certified vote tallies. And then we started calling him and said, Tony, come on back. You know, you said you'd discuss that. And even Hal, the station manager at KRXA, dropped by his office one day and talked to Tony and said, hey, come on, you know, you said you were going to come back. And then we followed up with phone calls, and he simply was unresponsive, and then he resigned. So I don't know where that mystery will finally lead us, but I would like to know what his analysis was. I would imagine if it was a flawless performance last November, he would have been probably real willing to come on the program and talk about it.
Well, my dealings with him over the years, he was always so forthright and good sense of humor, and I just liked him as a person, and I never heard anyone say anything discouraging about his work product.
Yeah.
So the resignation and the ensuing stories just, you know, literally shocked me.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, Deborah, get over there and vote because there might be a line.
Well, I'm off to the patio party barn.
Tell Dirty.
Only in Carmel or something.
Tell Dirty Harry we said hi.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll be hanging with the rest of us unwashed.
Right. Okay, Deborah, thanks.
Bye.
Now to Ed Porter in Santa Cruz. Council member, how are you?
I'm pretty well, Peter. Thanks for asking. I wanted to ask you about your program last night, After Hours.
Yes.
And I was upset at that station because they put Mr. Rothman on after you,
uh-huh.
and he proceeded to dismantle what you guys had paid for.
You know, I didn't listen afterward. I went to dinner. What did he do?
Well, he said it shouldn't have been on. It was just an infomercial, and it was an affront to the integrity of all the people at KGO, and he claimed the listeners hated it. And, you know, I think you guys should write and say, we need our money back.
I only have a few seconds here, Ed, and I'll call you off the air after the show because I'd like to hear more.
Okay.
But the fundamental issue is I arranged this under federal law that a candidate for Congress, a federal candidate, has a right to place a program on any federally licensed radio or television station in the country. And Pete McCloskey exercised that right. And it was because the district that he's running in is in two counties with a mountain range in between.
Yep.
And the radio station reaches both sides of that district, and that's why we did what we did.
Well, I appreciate it.
And I'll have to talk to my friend John Rothman about it, too, and see if I can straighten him out. Ed, I'll call you. Thanks. And thank you for listening today. This is Peter B. Collins. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station. Trigger, giddy up.
Happy trails to you.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
It's so exciting, honestly, to just be back on the air. And this was a great victory, not for me individually or not even for the group that helped put this together, but for the community. And quite frankly, it really shows you that when we all bond together in a common cause, great things that can be done. I mean, Margaret Mead is the one who had that quote. She says, never let it be said that the work of a small group of committed people can change the world. For often, that's the only thing that ever has.
Mike Newcomb's Week in Review. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2, right here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Pentagon now acknowledges that in addition to the 26.5 million veterans whose data was stolen, as many as 2.2 million active duty and reserve personnel might be affected by the theft of Veterans Affairs Department computers. Ramona Joyce is a spokesperson for the American Legion.
The VA just needs to come clean all across the board. We need to know the details. It's been a month now since the initial theft, and information continues to trickle out.
Veterans groups have gone to court.
The lawsuit asks a federal court here to take over the protection of veterans' data until new safeguards can be developed by an independent panel. Five veterans groups accuse the VA department of disregarding the privacy rights of every man and woman ever to wear a U.S. military uniform by being reckless with data and allowing it to be stolen.
It was plain, machine-readable information. You wouldn't do that in your own checkbook.
Lawyer Daniel Rosinski is seeking $1,000 for every veteran harmed by the data disappearance. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Canadian prosecutors say the 17 suspected terrorists arrested over the weekend had an ambitious and brutal plan. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has today's revelations.
According to a document given his attorney, one of the accused, 25-year-old Stephen Chan, was part of a plot that included plans to storm the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa and take politicians hostage, behead the hostages, including Prime Minister Stephen Harper, if Canadian troops weren't withdrawn from Afghanistan.
They also allegedly planned to take over the Canadian Broadcasting Company. Authorities in Greenville, North Carolina, have named a suspect in the rape and murder of a Clemson University student.
Warrants have been issued for Mr. Jerry Buck Inman for the crimes of murder, criminal sexual conduct in the first degree, and kidnapping involving the death of Tiffany Sowers.
She was strangled with her bikini top. Inman is a registered sex offender in Tennessee. Police say he's a match for DNA samples taken from the victim's apartment. Lisa Carlin of People Magazine reports a music legend died today.
Keyboard player, singer, and songwriter Billy Preston has passed away. The 59-year-old had worked with The Beatles and The Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton. Billy Preston also had a number of Grammy-winning hits of his own.
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody.
Preston, who'd been living in Scottsdale, Arizona, had been suffering from a serious illness for